Live, brought to you from the Eternal Word Television Studios in Birmingham, Alabama.
Of Jesus. The most glorious work of all, to praise God in his kingdom.
Moved by the Spirit.
Anyone who lives in love lives in God. And God lives in him.
What a wonderful thing is our church. This whole network is built on trust. The essence of evangelization is to tell everybody Jesus loves you. We are all called to be great saints. Don't miss the opportunity. Well, this is water. Just so I don't get a lot of calls in the morning that says, who socked mother? Nobody socked me. I had a little operation today and it just started to swell and swell. And so it's kind of messed up. So if I'm winking and blinking, that's okay. Tomorrow will be better. Anyway, we have tonight, 50 some people, 59, from Hanceville, Alabama. And we feel very much like family because we are. So they came tonight to see our show. And we just hope and pray that our people from New Jersey and everywhere else that are here tonight will receive many, many, many benefits from the Lord. That's what we're here for. We're all here. We've all been created by God for one thing. And that is to become holy. And I think we kind of think holiness is one of those stiff-neck things that you do, you know. But it isn't. It's a very normal thing. Jesus acted very normal and human, though he was divine. He cried over the widow who lost her son. He groaned when he heard from Mary and Martha that Lazarus was dead. And he must have smiled when Martha reminded him that he made dead 4 days. Stunk. Can you imagine a woman trying to explain death to God? I don't think there's any woman here would do that. Is there? No, you wouldn't do that. I would. I'd have been Martha. I would have said, Lord, he stinketh. He's been in there 4 days. See, and I love that event because Martha just couldn't, and Lord said, he's going to rise. She said, yeah, I know, last day. You know, I love to read about Martha and Zechariah, the man who explained to an angel why he and his wife could not bear a son, was one of these, thank you very much, but you're too late. First chapter of Luke. And I like that because it was also human. And the poor angel, I wouldn't mess around with one, by the way, because if he tells you anything, say thank you. Because they don't take a smart aleck remark very well. And so I just thought this evening, we would look at the different ways people's prayers are answered. Now, I know some of you, all of us have at one time in our life said, Lord, you didn't answer my prayer. In fact, today I was telling all my family from Hanceville, I there was tornado warning. We were out in the worst. We couldn't see more than 3 feet ahead of us. And Regina was going this way, and I was going this way with my bad eye. And we were a mess. But we made it. And so I said to the Lord, why do you have a tornado tonight when I got all my friends from Hanceville coming? can't you kind of cool it down? Just kind of turn it around somewhere else. Anywhere. Put it back in the sky. Do anything. And so it happened. We went through a lot of rain, and all of a sudden, it stopped. And I thought, hallelujah, they're coming. So I want to welcome them with my whole heart, as well as all the people from New Jersey. And I want to just say, regarding about three different incidences, I think we are. By golly, I lost it again. I tell you, it doesn't pay to mark a Bible, because the Lord changes it on you, and then you don't know what he wants. You know, I think I did that in Hansford when I talked to all of you. And you know where I talked to them? In a bank. Would you imagine me talking to all these 50-some people in a bank? And you know where in the bank? Right in front of the vault. That was the happiest talk I ever gave. Of course, the banker never opened the vault. But it was a good feeling. Just standing there. And I had a great time with that. Tonight, there are some places, by golly, I lost a ribbon. Here it is. When our dear Lord answered prayers in a strange way, in no way, in an unseen way. And all of that happens to you and me. We pray for something, and before you know it, it's there. And then we pray for something and we never get an answer. Or we think he doesn't care. And then we pray so quiet, we don't really want him to know. And then we're going to see what happened then. There is this wonderful incident of the Canaanite woman. And you can imagine the apostles just walking along. Here comes this woman. And she is a pagan. And she said, "Sir, son of David, take pity on me." Haven't you said that often? Huh? Haven't you said, "Lord, I can't take anymore. My daughter's tormented by a devil." And he didn't say anything. Not a word. Just kept on walking. Oh, haven't you felt that way sometime? Huh? Haven't you felt like you're talking to him, he's not listening to you? Well, his disciples went and pleaded with him. Now, see, the motivation of the disciples was not too good. They said, "Give her what she wants." You hear those? Well, they were not pro-feminine. Is that the right word? Yeah. Is that politically correct? No, it is. Who cares? Anyway. Oh, I think that's the dumbest thing ever happened to America. Give her what she wants. Why? Now, why would these men, who are future priests, they weren't yet, so we know the difference. Huh? And they said, "Because she's shouting after us." What a motivation. Not give her what she wants. Her daughter has a devil. No. Give her what she wants because she's crying. No. How many men have done this with their wives? Okay, you can have that dress. Just stop bothering me. They don't care what dress it is. They didn't even see it. They just want you to shut up. Is that right? Yeah? Now, but he said in reply, something so hard. He said, "I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel." Now, I don't know. I think most of us, especially our women, wouldn't take. We'd have just walked away and said, "Phew, I thought he was a prophet." But this woman didn't. She said, she came up and she knelt before him. What is that? Real perseverance. Why? Because she loved her daughter. See, love does not take no for an answer. And love is not humiliated, because they're not thinking, she wasn't thinking of herself. How many of us pray for our children, our loved ones like that? But the Lord said something very hard, you know. She knelt and she said, Lord, help me. And he replied, it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to house dogs. Wow. I think at that time, if there were any women left, today's woman, they would have been gone. Ooh. Today's women wouldn't even have asked him. Some of you would. And so there he is, you see, and there's the apostles. Apostles are astonished. The compassionate, loving Jesus never did that before. So what happened? This is an awesome sentence. You ought to read it once in a while to test yourself. First of all, say, would I have persevered under this kind of trial? And she said, ah, yes, Lord. Even the dogs can eat the scraps that fall from the master's table. What an answer. Oh. You know, sometimes when you just feel desperate and you don't know where to go and your prayers are not being answered and the Lord said, well, he just doesn't pay any attention. It seems that way. And Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your wish is granted. Now, what was this? Huh? The Lord tested this woman for the apostles' sake, because they were kind of wavering sometimes, and for your and mine, for your sake and my sake. He tested, he knew what was in this woman. What really happened to her, huh? The Lord knew what she wanted before she asked. You can't fool the Lord. And she asked, perseveringly but humbly. It didn't bother her when he said that we don't give our food to the dogs. It's not time yet. See, the Lord's saying to me something. I'm not sure what it is. But the Lord tested her. I think what he was saying is, do you love me? Do you love me? Or do you love what I give you? Do you love the innocent answers I give you? Do you love me? Or do you love what I give you? When I answer all your prayers, who do you love when you pray to me? That's a great love, a great lesson in, do I really love Jesus for himself? Am I content if he says no? Am I content when dryness and aridity and you don't know what to say, you just sit there and you say, Lord, I'm desperate. I don't know what to talk about. I don't know what to say. My prayers aren't answered and I don't know where to go. And still there was silence. Is not God testing you like he tested this woman? Does he not want to bring out the best in you? And you say, well, that's a funny way of doing it. I mean, couldn't you use something else? Remember St. Teresa of Avila, huh? The great contemplative and foundress. Her carriage turned over in the mud. And she's crawling out of this carriage, complaining to the Lord. And the Lord said to her to comfort her, this is how I treat my friends. And she said, it's no wonder you have so few. But it was true, huh? Sometimes when you think you have a lot of faith and you think just wonderful things about Jesus, read this. Would you be tested? Could you be tested like this? Well, maybe not, maybe so. But the Lord says, oh, don't you wish the Lord would say something to you like that, huh? Woman, you have great faith. Wow. So now we see somebody who persevered was seemingly pushed aside and insulted, called a dog. Now, some of you wouldn't mind being called a dog because you're dog lovers. I can't say I'm not a dog. Well, I can't say I do or don't. I just want a dog to be a dog and me to be me. But I would love if our dear Lord could say to me, you have great faith after such a trial. So now we have a woman who apparently did not get an answer to her prayers right off, was rebuffed by the Lord himself. Only we could remember this one thing in our life. Only to get our faith to a higher level. Sometimes our dear Lord asks us to make many sacrifices. And we run the other way. We're so scared. Well, maybe he just asks because he wants to see if you're willing. We can do all things in him who what? Strengthens me. Now here's another woman who was scared to death to approach the Lord. Scared to death. And I'm surprised how few people love Jesus to that point. They're just scared and they're just afraid, you know. And they don't want to get near. Afraid of holiness, afraid of anything. Afraid that God is going to rebuff them or whatever. There's one woman who didn't care. She wanted her daughter healed. Well, here is this woman. Now, they cross the other side and this woman comes along who suffered from a hemorrhage for 12 years. Now, I like St. Mark's gospel because he's so truthful. Yeah. He tells it like it is. And I think he had something against doctors. Kind of shows itself off. See, any doctors here? I hope not. Now, Mark says, after long and painful treatment by various doctors. Well, he didn't think too much of it. And she spent all she had without being any better for it. And then he says, in fact, she's getting worse. Now, I love Mark because he never lets go. First she would spend all her money, and then she went to all these doctors. Now she's worse. And she hears about Jesus. She's desperate, absolutely desperate. And what does she do? She comes behind him. She comes behind him. Thank you, Lord. The rain stopped. And she says to herself, if I could touch his clothes, the end of his garment, I should be well again. And the source, of, when she said that, she leaned over. Now, she's in the midst of a crowd of people. When you bend over, somebody could walk all over you. She had one thing in mind. I'll go down and touch his hem, see? And he won't know it, and I'll be healed. Oh, one big secret. Well, the source of bleeding dried up immediately, and she knew she was healed. And she's trying to get away, see? And our Lord says, who touched me? Wow. Can you imagine our dear Lord with all the millions and millions and millions of people in the whole wide world? He knew one woman. Touched him. You want a cocktail? Go on, get it. Take two. There you go.
Thank you very much.
That's my Girl Scout act for the day. So, now Peter, He's not a happy man. When the Lord said, "Who touched me?" He says, "Lord, all the 1,000 people around you. What do you mean, who touched you?" You know, poor Peter, he never got the point. Never, until Pentecost. Finally got the point. Do you see how this crowd's pressing around you? Why do you say, "Who touched me?" You know, I always feel sorry for Jesus. Even the apostles never knew what he was talking about. So if you don't understand this book, don't feel bad about it. They didn't either. But he continued to look around. And this woman was frightened and trembling. Because she knew. And she fell at his feet. And she said, she was scared. He said, "My daughter, your faith has restored you to health. Go in peace." Now here's an incident where this woman prayed in quiet and secrecy. Don't you feel sometime like there's so many people in the world, how does he hear your prayer? You ever think of that? Huh? Everybody thinks of that. I'm only a little grain of sand on the seashore. Oh, but that's not true. See, God is God. And you and I have to let God be God. I don't know how he does it. He's God. I don't know how he said, "Behold a man without guile." Without guile, without suspicion. A man without suspicion. And Nathaniel said, "How do you know me?" They sure asked dumb questions. "How you know me?" And what did the Lord say? "Oh, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Can you imagine that? We have to accept this beautiful reality. It's a reality. God knows me, loves me, chose me before time began. How do you like that? Why do we doubt? We have plenty of proof in the scriptures. Peter, go out and throw a line. Throw a line, catch the fish, and you'll find 2 shekels in his mouth. You want to explain that to me? Not only did he know that Nathaniel under a fig tree, he knew that a vast sea of fish had just swallowed 2 shekels. Is that useless knowledge? No. God can do all things. He knows you like a book. If you think you're hiding something in the dark, you better get bright, buddy, because he sees the whole thing. You're not kidding him. And the big book, you got it all down. The big book's his mind. We cannot hide things. He knows. He knows, just like he knew that poor widow whose daughter was... had a demon. He knew this woman. Now, it's impossible. I've been in crowds, pushing and pulling. "I wouldn't know you'd touch my habit. Goodness gracious. You're surrounded by people." But he knew, and he knows when you pray. He knows your problem. Well, now, what did the Lord say to both? "Your faith has saved you." It wasn't presumption. "Yeah, he's going to answer my prayer." No, these women suffered a lot. They both suffered a lot. Now, we're going to come up to a different kind of prayer. It's this wonderful woman who was a sinner. They were all sinners. This was a high-class prostitute. Now, you want to make it real clear? She wasn't one of these street corner gals. She's the one that goes up in the big hotels. You're going wondering, how does mother know that? You'll be surprised what I know. So one of the Pharisees had a meal for Jesus. He was just trying to find out what's wrong with this man. Who is this man? And so he arrives at the Pharisee's house and took his place at table, and a woman came in who had a bad name in the town. Now you gotta ask yourself, how did she get in? Did you ever think that? No? See, women were not allowed to go in. The servants would have booted her out. Except, she's been there before. They probably said, oh, come in, Mary. So she heard he was dining with the Pharisee and had brought with her an alabaster jar. Do you know what an alabaster jar costs even today? No? Okay, let's see. An alabaster jar of expensive perfume would have cost today's salary $20,000, $25,000, a whole year's salary. Boy, she's high-class stuff. Well, she comes in, and the Pharisee said to himself, ah, now we know this is God, you see. He said, if this man were a prophet, he thought this, he wasn't saying it. He wouldn't know who this woman is that's touching him. Oh, you hypocrite. It's like the man I talked to said he didn't go to church because they're all full of hypocrites. I said, well, one more won't hurt. Isn't it true? Then Jesus said to Simon, oh, that cracks me up, yeah. I had something to say to you. He said, speak, Master. Ooh, can't you remember those oily words? He said, there was once a creditor who had two men in his debt. And one owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. That's a lot because that's over 3 months' salary. And the other a month or so. He said, they are unable to pay, so he pardoned both. Which of them will love him more? Very simple. And here's this smart guy. He says, well, I suppose the one he pardoned more. He said, you're right. He turned to this woman. He said, Simon, do you see this woman? Oh, did he see that woman? I came into your house. You poured no water over my feet. But she has poured out her tears over my feet and wiped them with her hair. You know, sometimes I think we're rather thoughtless of Jesus and we think he doesn't care or he doesn't know. You're wrong. You know, how many times during the day do you think of him? Or you're one of these people that go to church once a week, you think that's enough. Think of all the times you play golf. I never understood that game. I mean, you finally catch up with the ball and you throw it again. I never understood it. When you expect it to go in some hole way out there, then it lands in the sand, then it lands in the creek, And the people you pay at these country clubs, you pay them to play golf, and they do everything possible to make it impossible to play the game. And then you walk away happy you played golf. I think you got taken in. Anyway, our dear Lord says, "And you gave me no kiss, but she has been covering my feet with kisses ever since I came in." Yeah, isn't that amazing? The Son of God, who is love itself, he doesn't possess love, he is love, that he would miss a Pharisee who is a hypocrite, because that was the custom that the guest, the host washed your feet, the host gave you a kiss, the host poured oil on your head. Oh, why would he miss that? Why do some of you think he doesn't love you? When he went through that. Now, if I knew that somebody at my dinner was such a hypocrite as this Pharisee, I wouldn't want him to kiss me. Hey, get out of here. Who wants you around? That would be my feeling, and I'll bet most of you. He's there to do you in. Our Lord missed it. Because it was an insult? No. Because he loved this man. This man did not love him in return. See, we don't think God loves us that much to miss us. To say, "You didn't say good morning to me." He said, "Well, what's he care if I say good morning?" He cares. He misses it. You get up in the morning, your thoughts are far from God. You got too many important things to do. Oh, when you face him face to face, what are you going to do then? He misses it. And then he goes on to say, "You did not anoint my head with oil. She's anointed my feet with ointment. For this I tell you, her sins, her many sins, must have been forgiven her, or she would not have showed such love." See, she wasn't forgiven because she loved much. She loved much because she was forgiven. That's different. The initiative was on the side of God, not this one. Well, anyway, he said, "This is a man who is forgiven little who showed little love." He said, "Sir, your sins are forgiven." And then they said, "Who is this man who forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Well, see, this woman didn't ask for prayer. This woman did not even ask to be forgiven. She had to be forgiven, and she knew it before this banquet. And she knew that she was loved by God and forgiven all of her sins. It's like the woman taken in adultery. That always griped me. That's the only thing in Scripture that gripes me to death. They dragged this woman along, and they said, "This woman was caught in adultery." I want to know what they did with the man. Was he not also caught in adultery? What'd they say? "Get out of here, buddy." That's the only gripe I had. And I think that's why our dear Lord, one of the reasons he was so merciful to her. See? Because she was the only one guilty. That was a plan, see? So they got rid of him and brought her in. You know what our Lord did? Oh, I wish. First thing I'm going to ask him when I get to heaven is, "Lord, who are the names you wrote down?" And what did you write, Lord? Did you write Simon, April 26th, 9 p.m.? Boy, did he run. And they all left, every single one. Because as he wrote their names down, whew, out they went. Guilty, 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 guilty. All of a sudden, this poor gal is all by herself. He said, where are those who condemn thee? She said, nowhere, Lord. He said, well, I go and sin no more. Now, some of you put the period in the wrong place, see? The sentence goes on, go and sin no more. What a man, what a God man we have, what a Lord we have, what a Savior we have. Wow. But today's world, we decide if you live, and then we decide when you die. You fulfilled your work. We make past terrorists look holy. You know, we figured out, I think one of my sisters did, and I hope I'm remembering it right, that we have, in the world, in the whole wide world, we have killed enough babies, a population of 10 times America. 10 times. Every man, woman, and child, 10 times. 10 times that population has been annihilated from the world forever. By people who think they have the choice. And now we're deciding whether or not. How old are you? I wouldn't tell them. If I had to go to hospital again, I wouldn't tell them how old I am. I expect they'd just snuff me out. I'd have more than a black eye. You don't know. You don't know. This beautiful little 9-year-old, they finally found her today. Dead. In a 14-year-old boy's house. America, please ask yourself a question. What are we feeding the kids? Sometimes in a Catholic school, you learn about sex from the second grade. It took my mother 5 minutes. 5 minutes. And now they start your second grade, third grade. For how much can you learn? See, it's the ruination of our children's soul, mind. That's all they think about. What is your education for? Hey, we just got lottery in our state. That'll do something. Just another place to waste your money. Well, it's for the schools. Tell that to Sweeney. I never did find out who Sweeney was. But my mother used to say that. Tell it to Sweeney. You're not kidding me. You ain't going to send that for his education. I might tell you, let me know in 4 years where it went. And all of you that play the lottery, let me tell you, you're as dumb as the ones who voted for it. It's not going to do a thing for your country, for you, for anything. Why don't you make up your mind to take sex education out of the schools? I don't think Abraham had to teach anybody how. The only one that didn't understand was Zechariah. Maybe that's why they never had any children. I give our kids more credit than that. I don't think you have to teach them anything. They'll just stuff their minds with the wrong thing. Try God. You know, it might work. So tonight I hope you learned, no matter what answer you get, whether you prayed for it or you didn't, he knows, she knows. This whole network is an act of God. Couple nuns can't do this. They don't know anything about it. And who's going to start a network with $200? Come on. You're nuts. The same God who told Abraham that he would have as many children as there are sand on the seashore. He's already 90 years old. The same God who opened the Red Sea. The same God who protected his people and brought water out of a rock. I would have followed that rock all through the desert just to see the water come out. What a miracle. They weren't happy, so he gave them bread. Weren't happy again, so he gave them pheasant. But that is a lesson to all of us. We're never happy. We're never satisfied. We want more and more and more and more. Why don't you try just loving God for himself? You ever try that? How many of you just say, Jesus, I love you. I don't even want anything today. I don't know about tomorrow, but today I don't. How many of you thank him for little things? An ice cream cone. Say, why? I paid for it. But it's there. It's not in Yugoslavia. It's not in Nicaragua. It's in your hand. I know a place between here and Hansville got the biggest poems for 90 cents. I think it's 99. Bigger than you can eat. Of course, we're always there. On our way home, somebody inevitably will say, don't you think it's hot? At that point, I know we're exactly 10 minutes from a Texaco station. And we don't need gas. That's a little thing. But it's there. God put it there. God gave you the money to buy it. And he gave you the sense of taste to enjoy it. See? But we don't think of that. We're just so self-oriented that everything is us. The earthly trinity, me, myself, and I. I earn the money. I'm thirsty. The cone is there. I bought it. Well, why do you enjoy anything like that? You can't. Do you thank God when you get up? Say, oh, good morning, Lord. You know what I say? I say, good morning, Lord. I hope you have a good day. Now, I know you think that is stupid. But he wants to hear it from me. I hope you have a good day, Lord. He knows he's going to have a good day, but he wants me to say it. That's what you miss when you talk to God. Little things. Little things. And because he loves us so much, he wants us to do these things. I'm going to tell you this, and we've heard it before, but my Hansville friends have not. One day, I got so angry. We were just starting this network, and everybody was giving me a problem. And I had a lot of pain that day, and we were broke, and I had umpteen bills, and everybody saying, when you're going to pay? You know, creditors sometimes get different, you know, they get kind of funny. And I about had it. I went into chapel, and you know, our dear Lord is always present there. And I was kind of fed up. And I said, Lord, I told you I don't know anything about this stuff. I told you I don't know. And now I got all these bills, and I got all this pain, and I don't know what to do. And everybody's criticizing us, and everybody thinks we're nuts. And I don't, why me, Lord? Why me? Well, I heard a very gentle voice. And he said, yes, And why me? Well, I thought about that big. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Could you erase that tape? I really didn't want it to stay in that infinite mind. Because I was sorry. It was a stupid remark. Stupid. I have no right to say, why me? I can't complain to God. If he's asking me to do something, he's going to provide. He's going to provide. And so I hope tonight you learn something about God. He loves you. But all that matters, huh? Everything passes. You know, you look at yourself in a mirror and quite different than 20 years ago. You didn't know you were changing. Your whole face changed. You're not at all what you were. And the reason is you're getting old. O-L-D. Old. You can dye your hair, but it's okay. Comes up the true color, though. I bet your head said, oh, God, here it comes again. Fight the good fight. Come up white. That rhymes. Did you know that? We don't have to fake it. By the way, we got a call. Hello?
How are you today?
Hi.
I want to thank you and Jesus for EWTN.
Oh,
thank you so much.
You're welcome.
The question I have is, when Jesus was standing before Pontius Pilate,
yeah,
he humbled himself to the point where he didn't defend himself.
No.
No? Is that, are you saying no?
What?
Are you saying no?
No, I'm saying yes, he didn't defend himself.
Okay. Does this mean that if we're to imitate Jesus, that we too should not defend ourselves if we are falsely accused?
Well, I think it all depends. Our dear Lord never defended himself because he knew who he was. He had deliberately decided to give his life for us. I would say that most of the time when we're accused of something that we're not guilty of, it's a little thing. And who cares, you know? If that sometimes applies to our family or the good of our family, you may want to get counsel. But you know, that very thing you're talking about happened to St. Thomas More. St. Thomas More would not agree with the King of England. He would not agree that he should have an annulment from his marriage to Catherine. And he would not explain it to his family. Now, his family signed the papers. But Thomas More wouldn't, and he would never explain why to his family, because he didn't want his family put in jeopardy. First place, he knew they would not understand. I think if your boss comes along and says, why did you steal 5 pens? Who cares? You know, you didn't steal them. Somebody else stole them. It's not a weighty matter. But with Thomas More, it was very weighty. And it was very, very important that his family not know why. So they were not culpable. So that's a difficult question to answer without knowing if you're accused of murder and you didn't do it, I think you owe it to explain why you didn't do it. That's why we have courts. That's why we have juries. So since I don't know, I think you need to pray. Because many times you should defend yourself. Let's go back a little bit before Pilate, when our dear Lord was in the courtyard, and he was being questioned by Herod. And this soldier trying to make himself look big and important before the king slapped our Lord when he didn't answer. And you know what our Lord did? With his infinite love and mercy, he said, "Why did you slap me?" Why did Jesus do that? See? Why? Because he was trying, in his infinite love for the man who slapped him, he wanted him to understand what a terrible thing they did to the Son of God. He was trying to make him repentant. He's trying to say to him, "Why do you slap me? Why are you trying to make an impression on Herod?" He was trying to awaken his conscience. So Jesus at that time, when you remember what he said one time? He said, "If someone slaps you on the one cheek, turn it." But then Jesus didn't turn it, did he? Huh? No, why? Because he was trying to awaken in the conscience of that man the injustice he did to the Son of God, which he would pay for in a big way. And secondly, to make him understand you should have never done that, and to bring out repentance. See? So if you've been accused of something, first of all, it depends what you've been accused of. If you're accused of being a Catholic heretic because you're honest and you believe in the church's doctrines, hey, that's a compliment. I get that all the time. I feel sorry for them. I don't care. When I face God, I'm going to do it all by myself. See? So I think that's a difficult, but I wanted to show you there are two different ways. See? The Lord did say one time, "Do not judge and you shall not be judged," right? Oh, then another time he said, "By their fruit you know them," which is to judge. See? If somebody socks you in the eye and I see it, I can't say you didn't do it. That'd be a lie. I saw you do it. But I don't know why you did it. See, that's what Jesus was saying. Don't judge. Maybe you're a nutso or something. Maybe you're drunk. Maybe you're on drugs. I can't tell you why A socked B. But I cannot say I didn't see it, can I? I saw A sock B. Yeah, I did. Here I am. See, our Lord does not speak in contradictions. He speaks always the truth. So, I probably just confuse you. But if you're in that position, I would go to a holy priest. And he'll tell you exactly what to do. Well, I hate to say our time is up. I enjoyed you being here, and I hope you enjoyed being here. But in spite of all that, I have to make a pitch. All my Hansville friends, because their family now don't have to listen to this part. You can turn your hearing aids off. This is only for the New Jersey people. I got 2 minutes. First of all, I wanted to thank you for responding to my plea on air. And remember, this network is brought to you by you. We don't have anybody else but you. But we try to reach our brother who is in great need of God. You know, I can say with Peter, "Silver and gold I have not, but what I have, I share with you. What I have, I give you." And we have the Lord to teach you, to inspire you, to give you zeal for his kingdom, to thank him for his saving suffering for you and me, for forgiving us, for being compassionate, and for loving me and you so much. He waits with an anxious heart for you to say, "I love you, Lord. Good morning. I hope you have a good day." Be with me today. Guide and guard me don't let me say anything that would displease you. Never let me disappoint you by saying no to something you've asked me to do. I accept everything that happens today, Lord, because it's from you. Help my brother buried in the mud. Help my brother in deep sin who cannot see the way. And help my brother who tries so hard to come back. Well, all of that beautiful thing that we're trying to do costs money. I have a banker in front of me, and after this little pitch, I'll never ask him for a loan. I love you. And we'll be back tomorrow night with the guests. Remember, say often, I love you, Jesus. Bye now.